Romans chapter 16, verse 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to continue our studies in Romans, and we're praying, as always, for more insight and more enlightenment as we read your word. We thank you for all those who are participating today and those who may hear these messages, that it may be edifying for us all and that our time would be for your glory. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Well, thank you all for joining today. We're picking back up at 16:25. Last week, we looked at a little bit about Christ, his ministry. When Paul talks about the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, that is something that had not been revealed previously, but now Paul is saying that now it's being made known. Last week, we began to look at some of Christ's preaching of Christ according to prophecy, some things that we knew that those believers knew about Christ and his ministry. Last week, we looked at some of those offices. Just for a moment, let's look back at Matthew chapter 3 and John chapter 1, just to kind of rehearse these things. Let's look at John chapter 1 first. John, he covered some of those titles in a small passage there. John chapter 1, when John comes to make Jesus manifest to Israel. In the beginning, he says that he was the Word. We know that he was God in existence as God before he took on flesh. He was the Word made flesh. John says that he came to declare the Father. He was truly the Son of God. John chapter 1, verse 19. They asked him, the priests and Levites, they asked him, "Who are you, John?" They was asking John who he was. They asked him, "Was he the Christ?" And John said, "No, I'm not the Christ. I'm just a voice." But in verse 25, and they asked him, John, and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet?" And John answered them and said, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose." Verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Verse 33, "And I knew him not," John says, "I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Verse 36 again, "And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God." Verse 39 says, "And he saith unto them, Come and see." When they asked Jesus, where did he live? He said unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, "a stone." Verse 49, when Jesus sees Nathanael, verse 48, let's start there. Well, let's look at verse 46. "And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Behold, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. So we just looked at a few titles that the believers of that day recognized some things about the Lord, and these things were prophesied. They were looking for the King of Israel. They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the Christ. They were looking for the Lamb. They were looking for that prophet. And when he showed up, there were some things that were to indicate that that was him. And those things, look at Isaiah chapter 8, those things Jesus demonstrated. Did he not demonstrate those things? Those things were the signs, the miracles and wonders. We looked last week about Jesus Christ, a man approved of God among you by miracles, signs and wonders, which God did by him in the midst of you all. They saw those things. They could not deny them. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 16. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. These things are prophesied about Christ, things that he would do. Who do you think the disciples are when the Lord shows up? Well, that's kind of obvious. The disciples are the disciples, right? They are those who followed him. The children are the disciples. You ever notice when you're reading, and especially in John, where he talks about little children, calling them the little children, keep yourselves from idols. He says that in like 1 John, but he's going through and they're called the children. Well, that's, and here it is prophesied right here, just like sheep, just like Jesus being the good shepherd. There were things prophesied about him that they can see when he arrived on the scene, and they could not deny those things other than unbelief and just a straight rejection of his offer of who he was. He said, Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me. Does that sound familiar? Where at the end of his ministry, he says, I have lost none of those that you have given me except one, the son of perdition. Well, that was because, and we'll look at that hopefully, is the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Judas was not a surprise to him. These are things, and God didn't make Judas betray him. The determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God knew that this would happen. Just like he knew when the Lord showed up that they were going to reject him. It's written about him. Isaiah, look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Who is that? Who's that speaking of?
Christ.
Okay. Speaking of Christ, while we're in Isaiah, let's go over to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth grace to the Gentiles. Just going to let me keep going, huh? He shall bring forth, Carol, bring forth what? Judgment to the Gentiles. 42, Isaiah, that was Isaiah 42:1.
Thank you.
Okay, Isaiah, let's go back to, over to Isaiah 53. That's, we definitely know this one, don't we? Isaiah 53, verse 1, who hath believed our report. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. That's pretty detailed about the Lord's life, isn't it? Last week we asked a question. Well, Ed brought up the question. It was about being a Nazarene, being from Nazareth. And Philip, when Philip said we found the Messiah, come and see him, and Andrew asked that question, or Nathaniel asked that question, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, that's in accord with Isaiah. They esteemed him stricken, smitten of God. They had no respect for him as the minister of God, as the servant, as the prophet who was to come. When he said he's Jesus of Nazareth, that already carried a connotation to them that they were to reject him. In other words, when he started off, he didn't have a chance with them. Let me see if I can give you a better modern day. If we said that somebody was for those who live in Memphis, that they said he's from North Haven, you might have a negative connotation about that. Or he's from Whitehaven. Or if I said
Fraser,
yeah. Or if I said he's from Germantown, well, now he's got a little more credibility. But that's only due to their prejudices, just as it is to our prejudices.
Yes.
And that's why when they saw him, they stumbled at that stumbling stone. The Lord said, behold, I lay in Zion a cornerstone. That's the Lord. A stone rejected of men. These things were prophesied. That's why when Jesus comes, it's no surprise that they were to reject him. God knew it. But there was a reason why he was to be rejected. Because he was taking on the iniquity, as far as the Jews were concerned, he was taking on the iniquity of them. He was coming for them. Acts chapter 8. These things were prophesied. They were expecting a deliverer. They were expecting a prophet. They were expecting the Messiah. They were expecting the King of Israel to come. They knew that. But when you use all those terms, you're looking for the superhero. You're not looking for the super zero. They looked at him as a zero, not a hero. If the king is coming, I think Karen mentioned this last week, when John was in prison, when John the Baptist was put in prison, he sent messengers to Jesus to ask him, what's going on? Are you the one that should come, or should we look for another? Why did he ask that question?
as the Lord wasn't behaving according to his expectations.
How did John know that the expectation, his expectations weren't being met?
He was sitting in prison.
He was sitting in prison. It's like, this is not the man that I've been reading and talking about. I'm making his path straight. I'm the forerunner. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Son of God. What am I doing in prison? This is not adding up here. Acts chapter 8, Acts 8, 26. Philip was one of the seven that ministered with the 12 apostles in a secondary sense. Philip, after the persecution, they were scattered abroad. He was one that went out preaching Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, the King of Israel. He went out preaching that. Verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. This man is obviously a proselyte. He's coming to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. So what the eunuch was reading was prophesied. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you're reading? He had just been to Jerusalem, hadn't he? For to worship. What does that tell you about his worship?
He wasn't getting fed from the scriptures.
He wasn't given much understanding, was he?
No.
That's assuming that they were covering Isaiah the prophet when he went there. And when he's leaving, he's trying to get a better understanding about what they were talking about in the synagogue. So chances are, if he was looking for the synagogue to tell him who the prophet was, what's the chances of those in the synagogue giving the eunuch a better understanding about who the prophet was?
Slim and none.
Because they had just killed that prophet.
Yep. Well, not only that, it just occurred to me, wasn't it Isaiah that the Lord read in Luke 4 when he said, fulfilled in your ears? So.
And he stood up in the synagogue to read that passage. And we just read the passage that the eunuch is reading. Verse 31. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. We just read that, didn't we? Prophesied about he would come, prophesied about his rejection, him being oppressed, his humiliation, the way they treated him in the judgment, and the eunuch is reading this passage. And the Lord says, go catch him. And Philip says, you understand what you're reading? And he says, not really. I need some help. Verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Who is Isaiah prophesying this about? Of himself or of some other man? Is this who I'm reading? Who am I reading about? Is it Isaiah or is it somebody else? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, that's what we're trying to do now, is to begin at the same place and preach Jesus, to find out what was secret about Jesus that Paul is proclaiming now. What is secret about this man, the Lord Jesus? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." What's the criteria?
Belief.
What'd you say, Johnny? You were on mute. And that said belief. That's the criteria, is belief, right? No. And he said, if you believe with all your heart, you can. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He says, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That's what he was supposed to believe, isn't it?
Yep.
When Paul, back to Romans, when Paul begins writing to the Romans, what does he say about Jesus Christ? I said back to Romans, but we really want to go to another place after this too. In Romans chapter 1, Paul begins his epistle to the Romans. Says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the
Son of God
with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead." So Paul is kind of, he's picking up the same man, isn't he?
Yes.
The same man that they talked about, which we know that there's only one foundation. But Paul, he says, he was made of the seed of David. He was declared to be the Son of God. Now, these are things that they don't change. The titles that Jesus Christ was given through Scripture, he doesn't abdicate any of those titles. He doesn't give up any of those titles. He's exactly what the Scriptures said he was, and he's going to be exactly what the Scriptures said he would be, because the Scripture cannot be broken. He is the Son of God. That won't change. You know the verse in Hebrews that everybody quotes, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever." You know, they use that to cover a lot of things, but the writer was trying to reassure those believers that it's not happening right now. But what he said yesterday and today is going to last. He is going to do it. His promise cannot be broken. And his promise was recorded in Scripture. It won't be broken. This is an important fact for us as believers. When things don't happen the way we pray, or the way we maybe read some promises that are made to other people, and we try to get in on it, and those things don't happen, the first thing we do is we say, "Well, it wasn't God's will. Like, he changed his mind." No, he didn't change his mind. The issue is that he wasn't talking to you. And you could try to back it in, curve it in, swerve it in, but you won't get the Lord to go back on a promise. And if it doesn't happen, chances are that we're reading a promise that wasn't to us. You say, "I don't understand what you mean." If any sick among you, let him call for the elders, and the prayer of faith, it'll heal the sick.
Does that help old age too?
It should.
Misappropriation.
Yes.
That's it won't happen, will it?
No.
How many have prayed that prayer of faith and it didn't happen? There's the word one hand, yeah. And then you start to, well, you got to make excuses for the Lord. You have to make excuses for the Lord while his arm was too short to do what you asked. Now that's blasphemy, isn't it? But the excuse is the promise wasn't to you. Acts chapter 2, before we go on. Acts chapter 2, Acts 2:29. There's a lot to read, but we're going to start there. Acts 2:29. Men and brethren, this is after the crucifixion of the Lord. Acts 2:29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn of an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to do what?
Sit on his throne.
Now, Paul starts off his Romans with his epistle, said he was the seed of David.
Mm-hmm.
He was raised up as a seed of David to be the Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up. And when he raised him up, he declared him to be who?
Son of God.
The Son of God with power. Okay. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Where is Jesus right now?
Yeah. Right hand of the Father.
Yeah.
Doing what?
Waiting for him to make thy foes his footstool.
All right. Waiting to verse 34. He says, sit, for David is not ascended into the heavens. But he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now, what we wanted is this. He said, the promise is unto you, ye men of Israel, and to your children, ye men of Israel, and to all that are far off. Now, that afar off is not the Gentiles afar off. It has not been declared yet. It's afar off. You know who the afar off is? It's all those people that were showing up on the day of Pentecost as they were prophesied to do. They were to honor the Lord three times a year. All the Jews from everywhere were to come to Jerusalem. All those near and all those that were afar off. The promise was to them. It was a prophesied promise. It was written by the prophets. All the law and the prophets spoke about those things concerning Jesus Christ. Okay, now, Acts, since we're in Acts, Acts chapter 4, and then we'll go back. Acts chapter 4, start at verse 15. They saw the man healed, Peter, James, and John. They healed, Peter and John healed a man, and they saw this. And they were looking at the man, and they could not deny the miracle that had taken place. Verse 16, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwelt in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Now, before we take on these other verses, if a notable miracle was done in our day, do you think the people would be persuaded? Listen to what he said. We cannot speak the things we've seen and heard. And the people who were in opposition said this. Let us, verse 21, when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. If we saw a notable miracle today, if we witnessed a notable miracle that could not be disputed, all men would glorify God. They couldn't deny it. But instead of glorifying God, people now, unbelievers, ridicule God. Because we're telling other people what God can do, what he's doing. He's working miracles over here. He's working miracles over there. But none of them are notable. None of them are prominent. We don't see them, Mike. We don't. We hear about them, but we don't see them. They are always able to be disputed or discredited. That didn't happen back here. Because those things were happening for a reason and for a season. Jesus Christ was performing those signs, miracles, and wonders to show that he was a man approved of God. You know when he didn't have to do it anymore? When did the Lord not have to prove that he was who he said he was?
When he was raised from the dead with power.
When he was raised from the dead with power. But he did it anyway for those, for the 12 apostles and those other believers. He did it anyway to prove that they weren't ignorant when they did it. He gave those people who maybe there was a doubt. He gave them another chance at belief. And we didn't read this. He says, "I know that through ignorance you did it." Acts chapter 3, verse 13. The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life,
whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. All now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. Peter saying, I know that you didn't know what you were doing. After all, if you knew that he was the Lord, the promised Messiah, the King of Israel, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, that prophet that was to come into the world, the Messiah, the Christ, you wouldn't kill him, would you? Not purposely. It had to be a mistake, right? So we'll send, look at verse 17. All now, brethren, I want that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your fathers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets, from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenants which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Now, just to keep this in your mind, where do you fit in when we're reading these verses? Where do you, as a Gentile, fit in when we're reading that the prophets foretold of these days that the children, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenants?
We are those of the kindreds of the earth to be blessed through that seed.
So if you were a children of the covenant and the prophets, if I said raise your hand, you couldn't do that, could you?
Couldn't. No.
But it's the same Jesus Christ, isn't it?
Yes.
He sent them back to those people, and he had fulfilled those things, hadn't he?
Yes.
Only one thing, they would still be waiting for them to repent. They would still be waiting for the times of refreshing, the times of restitution. They would still be waiting for those days, wouldn't they?
Those that believe that way still are.
They still are. When the Lord is resurrected, he says in Acts chapter 1, where they were waiting, they said to him, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the season. It's not for you to know when. Now, I'm going to say this as a precursor. Just like he told them that it wasn't for them to know. Well, let me back up. When the Lord comes in to establish the kingdom, and John's in prison, and he tells the disciples that I must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and be crucified. We read a verse when he began to speak in the parables, they asked him, why are you speaking in parables? Because those Jews were rejecting him. Their rejection was coming to a head. The rejection didn't take him by surprise. Do you think Christ's rejection was a surprise to him when he came the first time?
Not at all.
Not at all. Okay. How do you know that?
Through scripture.
Through scripture. It was written, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was prophesied. Okay, let me ask you this. When he offered the rejection, when he offered the Jews a second chance to repent, do you think he knew that they were going to reject him the second time?
Yes.
How do you know that?
Through scripture, because he knows everything.
Okay, through scripture, because he knows everything. But do you think they knew it?
No.
No. He offered it to them. Do you think, as the offer was being presented to them, that they knew, the 12 apostles and the believers, do you think they knew that the response was going to be negative?
No.
No. They were waiting. So what happens now?
Now?
In their case, what happens now where they know you did it through ignorance? So if you repent, he'll send that same Jesus back, whom you crucified, whom the heavens must receive. And they preached that message in all earnest and sincerity. And Acts chapter 7, in all earnest and sincerity, that message was rejected again.
Yes.
And my question was, do you think the Lord knew that they were going to reject it the second time?
Of course. Yeah.
So it's his, the Lord, it is his responsibility as being the Lord of all to show that the second rejection was not, it wasn't because I couldn't do it. It wasn't because I wasn't able.
This is just one more step in the evidence that they rejected him.
It's yeah. Okay. Now with that said, let's go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. When the Lord began his ministry, and we looked at it a little bit last time, he began to preach and teach the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and they rejected it. And they began to reject it. They asked him, as he's going through performing the signs, miracles, and wonders, they asked him to show them a sign. And he said, "There will." In Matthew 13 and Matthew 12, he says, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there will one sign be given you, and that is the sign of the prophet Jonah." That was, he would be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. They are on track to do exactly what was prophesied, that they were going to kill him. And it had to be. It had to be. Matthew 13, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. and great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, "Behold," and he talks about the sower. We're not going to read the parables. You can do that. Verse 10. And the disciples came unto him, and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath." What is that when the Lord is speaking about? What is that he's taking and what is that he's giving?
The covenants and the promises and.
No, no. Johnny, you're still on mute. That is information. It's knowledge. Okay. It's knowledge about what's going on. Okay. Therefore, I speak unto them. It's the spiritual understanding. Therefore, I speak to them in parables because they seeing see not. And hearing they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and ye shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. And from that time he begins to talk to them in parables. And all the mysteries of the kingdom, and we can look at them all, but if you look at all the mysteries of the kingdom, they all deal with the Lord's absence. And what they are to, and what those believers are to do in his absence. It explains to them, and you'll read them and it'll say something like this. The kingdom of heaven is like unto this, like a man that goes away into a far country. And he leaves, I'm paraphrasing this, and he leaves his inheritance to those people to take care of. It's about him being away and them and their responsibility, or the other ones are about them, or the believers, being faithful while he's gone, responding in faith. Now, all those things were for the disciples to know because they believe. Matthew 13:34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares. And that's how that worked. He would speak to the multitude in parables because of their unbelief. And when they left, he would call his disciples and say, let me explain to you what that meant. So they would be on the same page as the Lord. They would understand what their responsibility was in his absence. They would understand why he's absent. They would understand all those things. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. We hear this at every funeral. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go ye whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. You see that Jesus is, he's already making himself one with the Father and with the Spirit. That's just a side observation. He says, he dwelleth with you. That's the Lord with them right now. And he said, he shall be in you. That's to come. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace which I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither yet let it be afraid. And, well, let me just read the rest of it. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and have nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so do I arise. Even so do I arise. Let us go hence. I'm sorry. My mind is already like three verses down the road. I'm finding it hard to stay focused on it. But the Lord is preparing them in his absence to let them know the thing that he's doing. And he's saying, I'm going to send you the comforter who is going to continue this education that you're getting. I won't leave you fatherless. I won't leave you comfortless. Just like I've been with you, I'm going to send the comforter, and he's going to continue to reveal to you the things that I'm doing. Now, I said all of that to focus on the mysteries of the kingdom. They explain, the mysteries of the kingdom explain why what the Lord was supposed to do wasn't getting done. It was because of their unbelief, the Jewish nation. But he said unto those who believed him that, fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so when they got the kingdom, do you think they were looking for it to be established? Do you think when the little flock, those believers, and they began to multiply, do you think they were looking for the Lord to make good on his promise and his word?
Sure.
Of course.
Of course they were. And that's all they knew. So when it didn't happen, what do you think they were thinking? Just like John.
Why did we sell everything?
Is they were thinking, just like John was thinking, is it him? Luke 24, when they said, we thought it was him. Besides all this, it's the third day. And he said, oh, fool, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Okay, well, now he's resurrected. He sent them back, and he said, we'll do this again. Rewind. And they rejected him again. So now the believers, what do you think they were thinking? Now, we played all the cards. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is that prophet. He is the King of Israel. He is the Son of David. He is the Son of Abraham. What is wrong? Why is it not happening?
And now we have to wait.
And so it's God's responsibility again to explain to them, look, guys, I really tried, but I just couldn't get it done. No. It's God's responsibility to explain to them now the mystery of the kingdom. And guess who does it? And guess who does it?
Paul.
Paul. He says, back to Romans 16, and we're going to close out with this. Now, to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revealing of another secret, which kept, what's that?
Of the mystery.
Another mystery of the kingdom, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets. Guess what Paul's going to do? He's going to take the same scriptures that they read and they read.
And give them more understanding.
And he's going to reveal to them, right, to them that see, they're going to see more. To them that hear, they're going to hear more. To them that believe, they will believe. Karen asked this question a couple of weeks ago about the gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcision. Just knowing what we know, when Paul rebuked Peter because he walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, do you think they got out of that meeting, whatever the truth of the gospel was that Paul rebuked Peter for, when he told Peter, okay, I'm going to the heathen, you go to the circumcision, do you think Peter was going to go to the circumcision and continue to walk in opposition to the truth of the gospel?
No, he was supposed to give them further light.
So when Paul talks about this, mystery that he's that's being revealed to him to preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. It's going to explain, you know, you ever, you guys, are you familiar with Paul Harvey? I know you are.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, the rest of the story.
His favorite line, his famous line is he'd give a little bit of the details and then he would say, and now the rest of the story. And that's what Paul, he says, I know you heard all these things from Peter, James, John, the other 12 apostles. I know you've heard about the mysteries of the kingdom. And he says, he raised me up to tell you this. And now the rest of the story. Colossians chapter 1. I said we were going to close. We'll close with this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached unto every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known to his saints what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When Paul is giving the rest of the story to all, the things that have been hid, but now is revealed by the Spirit to all those who believe, to fulfill, Paul said, to fulfill the word of God. We talk about Romans road, how it leads a man to salvation. Well, in Romans, the book of Romans is actually, it's much more than that. It's like a syllabus of God's program. You can read through Romans and find out you are here. You ever go to the mall and you have that big board and you see this big old mall and all these places, and you'll see that little sign. If you're trying to get to a certain place, that little sign on there, that little arrow that says you are here. Well, now you know where to go from here. And Paul's gospel is that little sign that says you are here. He's going to explain to us where we are, where we were, where we are, and where this thing is headed. And we're going to try to, like I said, follow along with him as we find out where we were, where we are, and where we're going from here. Now, I didn't say the walk was fast. I did say tiptoe, right? I said tiptoe. So I understand this. The more I listen to preachers and teachers, and the more I read, I understand this, that we have a lot to learn. We have a lot to investigate to help us in our understanding. And we just pray the Lord, as we go along, would enlighten us. We don't have all the answers. We are looking for all. We have a lot of answers. I didn't say we didn't have any answers. We have a lot of answers. But there are some things that we're still looking to learn, and we want to learn as much as we can on this side. And the way we do that is what we're doing now. What we're doing now is sitting down together, looking at these things and following along with Paul as these things are being revealed to us through the Spirit. So we're going to pick up again at our verse in 25 through and try to look at another aspect of these things next week. So, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. As we continue in Romans, we're praying that our studies would always be fruitful and, above all, honor your purpose and plan. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.